This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations, and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of Mason-Dixon Line.
Come on. If you'd like and learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Southern Collective. The Fantastic Four is back, and I messed that up too, but I'm not doing a third rendition of this. But we've been arguing here about what my intro should look like. All four members of the team are back for the first time in what feels like a lifetime. Parker is back with us. We got the Brett Smash Burn, Matthew Reeves. Gentlemen, the season, I swear to God, is slipping past. I don't know how it feels this way, but I'm starting to get like a little bit of panic, because by the time I hit October, the end of October, even though that's my season kicking off, I start to feel like, dude, we're like past the halfway point. Am I the only person that feels that way?
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, dude.
Good, good.
No, I'm sitting here. Go ahead, Parker.
I was just going to listen to you sit there and tell some useless story about your season when you.
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, right?
And kill a world class buck.
No, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm watching some horses with some, I don't know what, who's driving them or making them go around. But anyways, I'm not hunting, and it's bothering me. So I'm dying to get back. Been watching our polos of guys dropping deer left and right. It's kind of getting absurd how many deer they're killing. But that's really what's keeping me in the game right now. But I fly back into town tomorrow, and I'll be back hunting soon.
It's funny, everybody here just gave Matt hell. It's, you know, when you got a when you got a win in the hand, like a deer, like he shot early on, you can afford to take a family vacation out to Arizona in the middle of the year and not even feel it. I know he's getting a little itchy, but I mean, the Joker has shot a monster, went and tucked another one in its bed and watched it from a distance for about like, what, 2 hours. You watched a deer for two hours, sit there and lay 70 yards from you. I mean, like, yeah, dude, you're having an all-star season, man. You're kind of carrying the weight for all of us right now.
And impregnated his wife at the same time.
Whoa.
I don't know where he found time to do that.
That was before the deer season.
It's one of those trickle ruts in Alabama.
All that ear prep, you know. No, it's been good. But
he had some of that Black Widow at the house and hit it one time, and he was all
Black Widow. Hey, y'all quit talking about me. We have other success to talk about. We've got Brett's had multiple encounters. Both of y'all, Walter and Parker, have both killed an animal. And, you know, that's something we need to talk about. That's what we're here to talk about is you guys, because y'all have had immediate success. Walt had a heck of a hunt this last week. And I want to know about it. The viewers, listeners want to know about it. So, Walt, Parker, whichever one wants to kick it off, let's jump into it.
What you think,
Walt,
Parker?
It's up to you, man.
I'll go first.
It don't matter to me.
Yeah, I'll go first. I did some math. This is the best season I've had in Florida to date. For the first 2 days of the season, I'm 1 for 2, which means I've shot twice. I'm back to back on opening day or opening weekend. So this past weekend, I had a cameraman, boys. The entire trip, I had a cameraman documenting the hunt. And I just want to say, if you're listening, and you're probably not because you're too busy killing deer, but THP, if you're listening, I understand why you enjoy it so much more now, because the guy with the weapon can just worry about hunting. He ain't got to worry about turn on the Insta360, turn on the Sony ZV-1 and pan it. Nope, you just go through your steps and you get to hunt with privilege there just thinking about that. And it was a lot of fun. Young fella, Anders Austinson, reached out and said, hey, I want to film. And he's been asking for about 2 years now. And so I gave him the Sony ZV or the Sony AX53, and he documented the whole hunt, including a mishap. Opening morning, we got stuck in a thicket that was a little bigger, thicker than I thought it was. And so we backed out and did some scouting, just relied on our instinct, right? When plan A goes to hell, you just start scouting and find some other spots. And it was kind of in that period of time where you don't really want to be like bouncing in known areas because there's just a bunch of people. And so we just drove around looking for pressure. Like, hey, let's go see where people are hunting. And there was this one big cutover. No one was hunting. And on the backside of it, we could see deer. And we're like, hey, let's put a spot and stalk on these deer and let's just watch them as the wind's in our face. Let's just watch them as they go back to bed. Let's try and figure out some of the patterns. And ended up kind of physically bumping these deer. They saw us at about 100 yards come across this cutover. And kind of ran off into the thicket, and we still were able to cut down a two track and cut them off before they got to their beds. And I had a yearling come out at like 20 yards, and we're crouched with the sun to our back. And this yearling sees us and is curious as hell. And she's coming closer and closer and closer. She gets to 20 yards, and I draw, and she stops. And she's just got this wall of grass, and all you can see is her in the film. And I didn't want to take the shot, and I'm holding, and it felt like 6 years. I let down. This deer comes out, of course, as soon as I let down. I draw again. She stops. She's got a couple blades of grass in front of her, and I sit her mast the pin, hammer the trigger, and she ducked about 3.5 feet underground and popped out on the other side of the cutover and ran off into the trees. Made a lot of mistakes there, but that's the first shot I've ever taken on a deer from the ground. So is that... does that sound about how that should go? I just completely botch it.
That sounds pretty good. I don't know if she ducked 3 feet, though.
It's pretty close, dude. It's pretty bad, man. That was...
no.
I mean,
yeah. She was high alert for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also, like, the size of a poodle.
That was the pocket. The pocket
yeah.
deer.
A young
Spaniel. Yeah.
A young deer in Florida is... that's a little bitty thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, ducking and diving.
So you said, what, is it like 20 yards or something like that?
When I drew the first time, she was at 20. And in my mind's eye, I never took her off of 20. And that was part of my problem, was she was at about 14, like, good-sized paces. Yeah. And so when you look at where the arrow was, even Brett pointed this out, if you look at where that arrow was, it was going to spine her at best, if I was lucky and she didn't move. So she was missed. She was as good as missed at that point in time. Once she started to duck, it was all over. You know?
I think it's pretty cool. Like, you can be in a tree stand and get a deer at 20 yards or 14 yards and, like, that's close, but like when you're standing on the ground and there's a deer that close to you, like that's a rush.
Yeah. We in that same clip, so we're recording, I go and find the arrow and we're just laughing about the fact I just blew this like chip shot on opening morning, right? We're sitting there talking, and I mean just talking just like this. And all of a sudden, I hear a twig snap behind us, and you can see in the frame, he's got the camera on me, and behind me, walking down the trail, like 20 yards behind me, here she comes out of the tree line again, looking at me, and he's like, "Get your bow." I was like, "Dude, it's 6 feet away. By the time I turn, she's going to be gone." And I turn and look, and she tears off again. So you blew two opportunities right there. It's just so funny because I'm like, "And here we are doing such and such," and then in the back, you just see this deer just like pop up out of the bush, and it's like, you guys still here? That was embarrassing, dude. You need to run. Like, but yeah, so we kind of laughed that off and we're excited about the fun we had, but we realized no one was hunting this area. Like we're talking like a solid, 500-600 yards, of terrain that no one's messing with. And opening day in Florida,
what kind of terrain are you talking?
Open pines and cut over, you know, open pines, burned pines, probably about a year or two past post burn. You can walk through it.
Were you kind of sitting on the edge of the pines and the deer were feeding in the cut over?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Yep. And it was like a grown over cut over where, you know, everything had been cleared and just, it was, everything had come back.
What are they eating in there? Do you know?
Dude, I have no idea. But I think there's just a lot of forbs out there. If you went out there, there was a lot of like dandelion and ragweed and stuff like that. And one of the clips, when she pulls her head up, you can see like the ragweed sitting out of the corner of her mouth. And she just like slurped it down like a spaghetti noodle in a cartoon, you know?
Well, the reason I ask in that video that I saw, the video of one of the shots, I can't remember, but there's a lot of deer there. Like it looks like a food plot.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me. I mean, it looks like literally like they're feeding in a food plot. Are they bedding in it too? Are you watching them just stand up in the same stuff?
No, it was way too hot for that. I got a picture in the sun. My truck said it was 105. It wasn't, but it was a hot
heat index.
Wow.
Yeah, it was brutal. So it was funny. When it would get overcast for a little bit and there'd be a couple clouds, the deer would come out and they'd be feeding. Sudden that this moment that sun went away, they just retracted back into the woods. I would say they're bedding about 150 to 200 yards off that field. And we actually, you know what? I can say that that's the case. It was actually about 100 to 125 yards because after that encounter, I looked at Anders and we were talking it over. And we're like, dudes, we have a chance here to just have some fun with this and probably shoot a doe on film because realistically, no one's in this area. Everybody's driving right past this cutover and it kind of had like a slope to the back of it and the deer were down there in that low bit on the backside. So I don't even know if most people even saw the deer. Like it was hard to see them even with binoculars sometimes. And so we spent the better part of the next couple of days scouting that area. We walked a big two track that went around the entire backside of it to the swamp. It's like a bunch of tie ties that just kind of held water whenever it was really wet. And as we're walking the whole thing, you could hear deer and the wind was like blowing in our face. So, you know, they couldn't smell us. You could hear them blowing at something, somebody else driving by. And that was when we realized we knew where their bedding was because you had this big open pine like prairie. And then you had this clump of pine trees and this like wall of like greenbrier and grape around it. And we realized that was one of their bedding areas because it wasn't very far from the food source. And so ultimately we spent that afternoon watching the deer and we saw 30 deer encounters in a morning and an evening hunt. I can't tell you if those were all the same deer or not. Like I can't tell you we had 30 deer staying in front of us, but we saw 30 deer distinct encounters in those two hunts. And that afternoon, we set up and did an observation hunt. You know, you got to keep in mind this cutover is like 500 yards by 500 yards. And I've got a bow with a 40-yard range. But there was this ability to sit in the middle of it and watch the entire thing. And we saw exactly where they were coming and going. And the next day, the next morning, we went to a different spot because we were afraid about bumping those deer off of that food source trying to get back in there. And so we went to a different spot, saw 13 deer. Darn near got a shot at one of them. And got set up for that afternoon. And our game plan that afternoon is, if you could think north, south, east, to west, there was this bedding area in the southwest corner of this cutover. And we had a northwest wind. And so we crept up in there. We pulled the vines back to where we had a couple shooting lanes inside this greenbrier. And we counted on having a marginal wind. And these deer would kind of come out the same trail they've been coming out. And the coolest thing about all of it was, we had two monster, and I can't wait to show you guys the footage of these toms. Just goat ropes, okay? Just monster toms come out at like 15 steps. I could have totally drilled one of these daggum turkeys, and I kind of wish I had.
Do you have a fall turkey?
Yeah.
Like, can you do that out there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know.
Dang.
It took a lot of restraint. Joey Bell was sitting right here going, "Don't do it, man. Turkeys are for the spring."
Joey Bell would have done it.
I know.
Joey Bell did
No, Joey Bell wouldn't have, because Joey Bell doesn't deer hunt.
Sure, but he did do a fall turkey hunt.
He did do a fall turkey
a couple years back.
Yeah. It was like the perfect setup for it, though, because the turkeys were looking at the deer and their backs were to us. And I'm not going to lie to you. I thought about five times, I should just drill one of these turkeys and be done with it. And then the deer kept getting closer, and I would just kind of shift my focus to them. Honestly, if I'm being truthful, I was a little insecure about where the vitals were, and I didn't have time or the ability to like pull out my phone and Google it, because they were right there in front of us.
It's that big old red thing on the top of their head.
Yeah, okay.
The vitals, dude. Yeah, smash that.
I missed a yearling entirely at 14 steps right before that. But anyway, so these toms come out. Everything just by the playbook. And I pass this yearling. This yearling shows up at like 5 p.m. We get in there. We pull everything back real quiet. We took turkey calls and we scraped the leaves back going, yup, 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 which is surprising a turkey didn't come in to begin with. With that, and we got set up, and I sent you guys footage of a yearling, and I thought Parker was going to dissolve Soko. It was unreal.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed, man.
Like, better ball.
And whatever. I mean, kind of been living a lie at that point. It's like, it's opening day. It's 5 o'clock. I think my exact words were, "God gave you an appetizer." Like, you could have smoked her and stayed there and waited for a buck or whatever. This would have been easy.
Well, you can blame Brett.
Easy call.
Because Brett did this to me.
Whatever.
Yeah. Brett did this to me. He forced me at gunpoint to pass several deer last year, and it's all been downhill from there.
I know, but you passed a yearling doe to just shoot a regular doe.
Yeah. Eh. I did. Way to just go ahead and put it all out there. Yeah. So right after that, several deer came out into the field. What?
I was going to say, people see it on Instagram, so.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I need to pull the pictures and actually post about that instead of just being a tease and posting it and not actually telling people what we did. But shortly thereafter, we had six deer into the field, all does, and they just kept meandering their way towards us. And out popped two little illegal bucks. They popped out and were sitting there feeding in amongst the turkeys. It's some of the coolest footage I think I've ever captured. To date, just seeing all those animals mill around right there. And they were at like 45 yards for an agonizingly long time. And Anders was so excited to get a shot off. He's like, you sure you don't want to take a shot? She's sitting right there perfectly broadside. You sure you don't want to take a shot? I'm like, nah, man, I'm just going to wait. They're feeding this way. I'm going to wait. And about five different occasions, he's like, are you sure? And I said, dude, 40 is my max. And he's like, okay, cool. And sure enough, here they come. They break to 40. She turns sideways. I range her, yep, 40 on the nose. I draw back. The pin is settling, and she turns and faces me. and I had to let down. I'm like, God, this is just never going to happen. Here I am telling him I'm not going to take a shot at 45 and he needs to be patient. And this deer comes right to me at 33 yards, turns sideways. I drew back and I told Anders, and I even have it, I have like receipts. It's on video. I said, the pin, I've never seen a pin hold more steady. Like legitimately my mind's eye. I wanted to shoot like the lower third of that deer's body to anticipate for a jump. I could not get that pin out of the center of that deer's body, no matter what I did. And I even had this moment of, what are you doing? That is a steady pin. Pull the trigger. And so that's when I pulled, and that arrow just felt like it was in slow motion. It spun through the air, and on video, you can just see. I didn't even give Anders a heads up I was going to shoot. I drew. He's zooming in, and as soon as that pin gets steady and I had that conversation in my head, I shoot, and he's still like zooming to get in on this deer. And you see the arrow bury into the deer. It blows past, and the deer runs off 50 yards, and the whole time she's running across this cutover, you can just see blood pouring out of her side. I mean, she is just toast, and she piles up just outside the tree line, and I'm texting Craig and Brett. I'm like, hey, how many deer can I shoot on this WMA? I can't remember. I'm like hoping somebody will Google it, because here comes the other deer. They're like, what happened to Steven? Like, what did he get into? Or Stephanie, Samantha. I guess. But Samantha, there you go. So they came into like right at 42, 43. And I wasn't comfortable taking a shot on an alerted deer past my range. And so I ended up letting them leave. And they finally left after we did a coyote howl. Drug her out. Perfect broadside shot. Hit the front right shoulder. Exited back rib cage. And the amount of devastation inside that deer. I was shooting those annihilators. I'd heard so many good things about them. Holy Christ. It was unreal. I mean, she couldn't. I'm shocked she went as far as she did.
God,
crazy. You like those annihilators pretty good.
Dude, it went through that deer at 33 yards. I got a full pass through. It was about 12 feet behind the deer and buried in the dirt. It was unreal. It had so much energy. That arrow would have been perfectly good for a full penetration at 40 yards.
God.
That's awesome.
Smoked. Well, that's you really got cool. One on the board, man.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, here's the deal. Yeah. That's just a doe. Old Mr. Smashburn over here, Smash City.
That's 2 points for the whippersnappers.
Hey, come on.
It's not just a doe.
You're right. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to do this to Graybeard right now. He's going to listen to this on his way to Colorado, and he's going to be like, you son of a biscuit eater. I'm going to read the score right now out. In case you guys don't know this, over in our digital deer camp, we have a deer season contest. It's just for fun, but it's old farts versus the whippersnappers. Age 35 is the median age. And if you're over 35, you're an old fart. If you're under 35, you're a whippersnapper. Current score right now. Whippersnappers, 161. Old farts, 27.
Ouch.
Ouch.
That's rough.
and there are still 7 points unaccounted for from James. Do your job, post the deer. And those go to the whippersnappers as well. So it's really 168 to 27.
Ouch, that's rough.
Yeah.
Maybe they're rut hunters. Maybe all the old guys are just rut hunters.
Yeah. Maybe
they're
so.
They're rifle hunters. They're gun hunters. They're all gun hunters. Every single one of them.
So, you know what? This is also an awesome opportunity. I'm going to do this real quick while we're at it. We got a bunch of new members to Patreon. And since we're talking about Patreon, this is a natural segue. We're going to thank Landon Murphy, Michael Crandall, and Scott Stafford. Thank you, gentlemen, for showing up and supporting the podcast the way that you have. You guys all have a hat coming your way. I've got boxes that'll be here Friday, and as well as everybody else. You guys, all the free hats leave this week, so they'll be in the mail to you no later than Friday.
That was, and it was, it only took like what, like 3 months for us to get the hats in?
Dude, I'm not even going there, but yeah, that was a debacle and a half, man.
That wasn't on Prime.
Yeah. Yeah. But we got caught up
Prime
there, man.
Was not
and the and the shirts, if you ordered a Firebuck shirt, they're supposed to ship to me this week from Tampa. So they'll get here. Sorry, guys. We've gotten really better. We've gotten much, much better about a lot of this stuff. If there's a delay in the shipping, it has nothing to do with my inability to get to the post office anymore. It has everything to do with we just can't get the merch sent to us. It's been a debacle. But listen, I shot a doe a couple months back. Matthew shot a buck. Brett, dude, you have been all over the bucks in Alabama, man. Why don't you give everybody kind of a little rundown of what's been going on in your world?
Man, for me, I've had – so every year I keep a little journal, basically, like when I'm hunting, how many deer I see, per see it, break it down, morning, afternoons. But I've been hunting mornings because that's when it's best for my wife. We have a newborn, so she lets me get out in the morning because she likes to sleep till like 10:30 or 11 o'clock. So I've been going out, but opening morning – man, I had a buck all but shot. scouted a spot the day before, found some deer, busted the deer off the food source, watched where they ran, looked at it, made a lot of sense, went back in there and set up on them, and I wasn't expecting a buck, but I had a nice, probably 100-inch, three-year-old 8-point come in. I needed about three more steps, and I was going to stop him to shoot him, and he got to that little bit more open area, and he just jogged through it all the way down to a swamp and then started walking again. So he got by me. And then this past Friday, I went and kind of set up inside of a bedding area about 100 yards just up in it on a really good trail. And my wind was supposed to be coming out of west, but of course, you know, in the south, it likes to swirl, and it kept like swirling back up where some of the deer may come from. And I heard something about 30 minutes after daylight and look over to my weak side, and I heard a little like a step or something. When, of course, when I look over at 15 yards, stands just a stud of an 8-point, just standing there at 15 yards with his nose in the air sniffing. But he's looking behind him, so he's not quite sure where I'm at. So it gave me just enough time to slowly reach and turn some cameras on, kind of get ready, and got my hand on the bow. And he walked a couple more steps, and then we had a Mexican standoff. And I'm 8 foot up in a tree, so I'm pretty much right in his view. But there was a lot of stuff in between me and him. You can only see about 20 yards in this terrain I was in, just like some planted pines. And he's like looking through the limbs at me, and my legs get uncontrollably shaking. Like, I haven't had that happen in a few years, like just go shaking like that before I actually get the shot on the deer. We probably stared at each other, it seemed like 2 or 3 minutes. And I was putting pressure on my legs, letting pressure off, doing whatever I could think of to make my legs quit shaking, because I'm like, there's no way he doesn't see my knees just a daggum slapping over here. And then eventually he starts to spook, and he starts to turn and walk. And he's walking towards my opening. And I'm like, I know he's not about to step out here. So I get my bow, draw back, and he keeps walking. And then about 10 yards before he gets in my opening, he just starts jogging through the woods away from me. Yet again, so I've had two opportunities at really good bucks already this year. And typically, my season doesn't get good until November when I go on my Missouri trip. And then after that, it's usually wide open. But I've already had two encounters with 3.5-year-old deer within bow range. So I've had two more opportunities sooner this year than normal.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
But
and this was in the season where you thought, I don't even know how much I'm going to get to hunt, and you're having all these awesome opportunities, dude. That's like killer. Because when I had a kid, I wasn't out there.
Yeah, it's all thanks to my wife. I mean, honestly, she let me go hunting. I'm just very shocked. She told me I could go to Missouri. I was a little shocked about that. But yeah, thankfully, you know, I just hunt in the mornings, but I'll take that. That's all I get. I prefer mornings anyways. But yeah, I found myself this year early season more trying to hunt bucks than just hunt deer. I've been, you know, kind of pushing in on where I think bucks are instead of typically I get out and I just hunt food sources and try to kill a doe or two. But I'm really wanting to be that guy that you don't hear about who can kill early season bucks. I told myself 2 years ago I want to start killing early season bucks. So I'm making my journey trying to make that happen.
That's awesome, man. Have fun with that, dude.
That's where I found myself.
You're on your way, Brett. You're having the encounters.
It's last year when I killed a bunch of does really quick, like killed like 3 or 4 of them, like really, really fast back to back. I killed 2 in Kentucky, 1 in Tennessee, and then 1 like on opening day in Alabama. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to buck hunt early season. And I remembered why I freaking don't like doing that in Alabama big woods. It's no fun. It's like when you go to start trying to buck hunt, you just like early season is literally just a drag most of the time. Now, I mean, you might not have some encounters and it might not be worth it, but if it don't work out, it's going to be boring as crap because it is. That's what it is, because you're not going to see a lot of deer. But that's cool that you're seeing them.
Yeah, and I haven't seen, so just say I went 8 mornings so far. Only 4 of those mornings I've seen deer.
Yeah.
But 2 of those mornings I did see deer were good shooter bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
It all just depends on what you want to do.
That's what we've been doing a lot of the time in the states that I've been in so far, because we've been in so many one-tag states.
Mm-hmm.
We were in North Dakota. We were in West Virginia. We've been in Michigan, and Michigan's been the first one that it's kind of been on the table to kill a doe, like where you could have even killed one if you wanted to. West Virginia, you could have. We could have. All of us could have killed one, but it's a one deer. It's a one deer tag. So if you kill a doe, you're not killing anything else. Michigan, you can buy extra tags. And so I just bought a buck tag and a doe tag because I was like, I ain't going.
Got to let them fly.
This is going to be, I want to kill something. But, dude, I know where you're at. Like, it is, I will say this, Brett. It's a different story in other parts of the country trying to get on bucks in the early season than it is in Alabama. I have yet to be in a state where I didn't get on a buck or see a buck from the spot, from the stand. And my hunting's been minimal. Like, I haven't got to hunt much at all. Like, you guys have all probably, other than Walt, have all probably spent maybe a little more time in the woods. Maybe in September, when we were in North Dakota, I spent a decent amount of time. But it's a little bit different than it normally is. And so, but I can tell you the weather, the crops, that the season change, the temperature, all that stuff really plays a big factor in early season hunting in these other states that you're just, I mean, I'm this year has been maybe a little bit different because there's been a few cold fronts come through early that we haven't typically had. Do you think that had a lot to do with the buck encounters that you did have?
It's very possible. It's the weather. Sure has been nice here in October. I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about mid-40s and mid-50s. Typically, it's only like maybe low 60s at best in October.
Yeah.
So the weather's been awesome.
The biggest buck I've ever killed in Alabama was on October the 27th, which where I hunt in Alabama, that's not anywhere close to the rut. And it was October 27th, and it was a 40-degree day. Like, it was the first cold front. Like, I do feel like those days definitely matter. And it seems like my buddy Justin Moser, I don't know if y'all know him, the guy who's tracked, his dogs have tracked a few deer for me. He killed a freaking stud the other day, like a giant buck the other day. I just, deer that early season typically don't come out of this state, it seems like they're kind of doing the thing a little bit earlier this year, which is cool.
Yeah.
It really sucks that I'm not going to hunt it.
Yeah, and my buddy Jason, I don't know, what was it, a week ago or so, he shot that giant buck with his bow up here in South Alabama, like 15 minutes from my house. Shot a 145-inch buck. It was freaking a huge deer.
Yeah, and it's I've definitely been paying attention. Like, I hate it. Honestly, I do. I freaking hate it because I'm not here to hunt it. Seems like every early season really sucks, and this year, freaking deer are dying and bucks are moving, and it's a banner year. It's a great year for acorns and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, flipping great! I don't even get to hunt it. Like, next year is probably gonna be like, oh, ain't an acorn to be found again. But it is interesting to watch because last year was kind of felt. Everything really felt empty, right? Like, as far as the South, really everywhere, it seemed like last year was tough for a lot of people. Rut was rough. It just, some ways non-existent in some places. Acorns, we hardly had any around where I'm at. Deer were skinny and small. It was just a weird year. It seemed like everywhere, but this year does not seem to be the case. It seems to be like, it don't matter what state, I'm seeing big freaking deer dying. And our Patreon group is proof of that. Like, my goodness.
Sorry to cut you off.
Just escalated so freaking fast from like, oh, we're happy Matt killed a deer and got us all started. And then Skinny killed one. And then freaking 87 people a day killing deer. And it's like, dude, you can't even keep up with who's killed stuff these days.
Yep. Does
anybody have an idea how many deer our Patreon group has killed already? Well, deer or big game deer. There's a couple of hogs and a couple of gators, but mainly deer.
I don't know. A few weeks ago it was like 22, 23, but I know it's just gone ham since then. So I don't.
Y'all all give me a guess, and I'll
say 31.
I'm gonna say 29.
Let's say 28.
How about 57?
What?
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I keep up with every one of them. I got it in my phone. Every time somebody kills a deer, I write their name and what they killed. I got them all. I told you I was keeping up with it this year.
57?
So here's your teaser for Patreon people. If you're listening now, this is your clue. I won't be there, but what I would like for y'all to do when y'all have y'all's trivia questions is to, one of the questions would be how many deer have been killed by the Patreon group. I have it tallied up and let you know.
You're talking about on the Patreon hunt when we do the trivia questions for prizes or whatever, that's will be one. How many deer have been killed?
Yep.
I like that.
Big game kills.
I like it.
Hot dang, boys.
But as of right now, it's 57.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Cool. Yeah. I think we just barely eclipsed 100 last year. Isn't that about right, Brett? It was like right about 100 at the end of the season.
Yeah. I think from our best memory, but we're going to keep up with it this year.
Yeah. That's
cool.
That's insane. It's been a banner year, and it feels like in Florida, we've been talking a lot about a lot of quality deer coming out. You know, they changed the antler restrictions a couple years back. And there's a lot of speculation about if that's having a positive impact. I mean, it seems like it sure is because people are just crushing some nice bucks. But, we got some people we got to talk about real quick. We kind of put this to the tail end of the show, but we got to say thanks to some people. First off, we got to say thanks to Bowtech for the freaking package we got in the mail the other day. Parker, I almost messed up. I can't tell you guys what we got in the mail. Sorry. You guys got to wait a little longer.
You can't tell them.
Yeah.
You can't tell anybody.
I about messed that up. Old Skyler was sitting there going, shut up, shut up, as he was listening to this. So
I was going to stop you. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Maybe that was intentional. Maybe I did that on purpose. I didn't do that on purpose. But we're going to say thank you to Bowtech for the things that arrived that will soon be told what they are. We're also going to say thanks to Tethered. I got some time today to play with that lockdown. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. Huge, huge fan. Matt one day soon, you can be a fan too.
Hey, I had many hours in the show in it.
I'm going to be honest. I switched back to my Phantom.
Did you?
I sure did. Isaac's using my lockdown on tagged out right now because I just didn't like it. I like my Phantom a lot. I prefer minimalism, and I think that is a fair thing to say.
I mean, you're allowed to have your own opinion. This is America.
Yeah. To each their own.
Yeah.
I said in the lockdown Sunday.
Did you like it, Brett? And
I like compared to what I was using before, the streamline of that lockdown, because when it's not deployed, it is pretty much the same size as a Phantom. And I love the pockets on it because they stay tighter to your body and they're not dangling and slapping your legs on the belt pouch. You know, unless you have like the Elite saddle or something where they're sewed on, you know, from a tether. But it's just so much more streamlined. Couldn't even feel it hardly on me.
Mm-hmm.
When I got in the stand, I was able to deploy it and it sit like, you know, just like a bigger saddle would, just way better. Because I do a lot of sitting and leaning. And those bungees, when I got ready to get down, they pulled the saddle right back where it should be. You know, where it folds back up, you know, closer to the size of the Phantom. And it's just, it was way nicer than what I've been using. Like, just way better.
I can't speak to whether or not I'm going to be able to use it on an all-day sit, but I've sat in it, and the pressure points on it immediately felt differently to me than the Phantom. Like, it felt like it was made for a dude with a big booty. So I'm excited, man. This is going to be fun. So we want to say thanks to Tethered. They do a lot for us on the show. We're giving away a carbon platform with them. So really excited about that. Just as soon as that goes live, we'll have that for you guys. But I got to do something really cool. And I was like a kid in a candy shop. When I shot that deer, I'm driving home. It was late as hell because Anders locked his keys in his car and it was a whole debacle, right? He ended up having to bust his window to get to his keys. But I got to skin a deer on a tailgate of a truck for the first time since 2008 instead of on the ground behind my Xterra. And I got to do it while listening to Tyler Childers, drinking Oyster City Hooter Brown, and using my dadgum brand new bad mother trucker jointer die knife. Dude, that thing was wicked. That rimfire is a bad mother. Dude, I'm telling you right now, you probably have good knives at home. You might have one as good as the jointer die knife, but that freaking rimfire, I swear to you, it cut like butter. And I cleaned the whole day. I did what Brent told us in Discord, in the Discord group. He said, you have to hone it as you go. You can't just like cut a whole deer and let that blade get really dull. So I stropped it a couple times throughout the course of cleaning the deer. Dude, oh my God. Brent makes a tremendous knife. And if you want one, you got two options. Join Patreon, because at the end of October, we're giving away a SoCo branded rimfire kit. Or go to the website and use the promo code SOCOHUNT and get 10% off your order, including custom orders. So that knife, dude, is bad. That is a bad knife.
It is.
Wait to use mine here in a week or so.
I used to have a rimfire, then Greg stole it. He straight up swiped it from me.
That soft sucker.
Yep. Just swiped it. I was like, anybody seen my knife? Oh, wait, Greg's the last person to use it.
We need to get you a SoCo branded one. I mean, that thing
is
just...
I don't think he knows how much that knife cost.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's going to be the fun test. I can't wait to take my fine stone to it and touch it up and see how long it takes to get that thing tuned up. But I mean, like, you know how like some knives, they get hard to hold and your hand gets a little greasy because that tallow on a deer is so sticky and it's not... It's greasy is what it is. It's greasy. Dude, man, that thing just was like an extension of my hand. I had that whole deer broke down in like 20 minutes on the back of that truck. It was amazing.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I want to say thanks to those people because they do a lot for us, all of them.
Absolutely.
You can tell it is late at night when we're recording this one. Matt's over there falling asleep in Arizona.
It is 6 o'clock. Brett's dreaming it is 6 about o'clock Missouri. Here. I'm good.
Parker is eager to get back to editing the Tagged Out Tour. How's the Tagged Out Tour doing, Parker?
It's going, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it is, it's great. The videos are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People should definitely go watch the video. Because they're awesome.
They are. I've watched all of them. I watched the latest one in West Virginia. I'll tell you. God. That backwoods challenge, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, y'all did backcountry challenge? Man.
Yeah, the backcountry challenge in West Virginia.
Oh, Eli got hot.
That was pretty cool. Eli, man, he's just – I'm really pulling for him. He's hunting right now in Michigan, and he's had a couple really, really close encounters with bucks. But he's – camera, he called me last night and he was like, man, I've two nights in a row I've had a buck that I could have shot, but the camera couldn't pick him up. I don't know what to do. And I was like, freaking kill him, killer butt.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, tell Casey to turn that camera on the deer. You've got a lighted knot.
Mm-hmm.
turn it on the deer. And if you can see it, if it's legal shooting light, shoot it.
That's right.
That just, yeah. I can bring up the exposure if I need to or whatever. Like, we'll be all right.
Work your magic.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be all right. I'd rather you just kill that buck. Yeah, most of the guys do. They're awesome. They're great. So here's the deal. Here's the other thing. I did kill a deer on the first freaking sit in Michigan, and that deer. But what I can't tell you is that guys in Michigan crying and complaining about how hard hunting in Michigan is, I can tell you one thing. There is a lot of pressure in Michigan, but there's also a crap load of deer in Michigan. So the very first deer that I saw in my spot in Michigan was about 100-inch deer, 100-inch buck. That was the very first deer I saw in Michigan. From what I understand, Michigan, the buck status is 100 inches. Do y'all know if I'm correct on that? Maybe somebody who's listening can correct me on it. But I think it's 100-inch. I think it's 100-inch buck thing. So Eberhardt talking about his 100-inch deer and stuff. Or his buck deer, I think that 100 inches is the qualification in Michigan. And from driving around in Michigan, and the first deer, the only buck that I saw in Michigan would have come really dang close to meeting that mark. Dude, Michigan's actually a pretty fun state to hunt. Like, there's a lot, it's a target rich environment. There is a lot of bucks. They're mostly small bucks from what I understand, but there is some really good potential for big bucks, and there are deer everywhere. Like, there's a bunch of deer. So Southern brethren, if you hear people talking about Michigan, about how terrible it is, I'm going to tell you, it's not that bad. It's actually a pretty fun state to hunt. I wish that I had time to actually hunt Michigan, because dude, I was on some freaking bucks there in the three sits that I got. I was absolutely on deer, and I just didn't get to do it, and that's kind of depressing. It's kind of depressing when you buy the tag.
Well, I think what we're going to do is have Adam Miller on to talk about how great Michigan is, and we'll compare perspectives, because I think a lot of Michiganders don't think it's necessarily the best place in the world to hunt. Maybe there's pockets where it's a little more difficult, but fellas,
what I've heard. But I can tell you the one thing for sure. There's a lot of people that hunt those properties. Like, I would be miles deep and there's a trail camera, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you, it's hard to outdo the people there. Like, to out walk or out hike, like, there's just people hunting everywhere. But I can, like, there are deer there, and it's a good state, man. Like, I would put it up there with the hill country of Texas when you're talking about numbers.
Yeah,
of deer, it's pretty crazy.
Well, let's do this, boys. Let's put a pin in this. It is late. I got to edit this and get it dropped. I appreciate each and every one of you guys for listening. Go check out the YouTube channel. My deer video should be dropping sometime this week. And I think until next time, guys, y'all get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.